Hey guys, Kelly here. I was feeling really bad about the length of the last episode, so I thought that I would record this bonus episode for you guys. Kelly reads the paranormal news. Now, on with the show. Our first story comes to you from CBC.ca, as it happens. Headline is, Haunted House Reports on the Rise During Pandemic, Says Paranormal Researcher. John E.I. Tenney says more people at home are taking notice of their environment. No shit. The new normal is bringing out the paranormal, says John E. L. Tenney. Tenney, a paranormal researcher and the former host of TV's Ghost Stalkers. Fuck! Not this guy. Okay, I'm gonna pause here because I just need to say that Ghost Stalkers is probably one of the worst paranormal TV shows that has ever been created. I'm gonna stop the music here because I'm gonna bring up a clip that you guys can listen to just so that you can understand who we're dealing with here.
Chad is in the middle of his solo investigation of Holmesburg Prison, where we believe a man-made portal could exist. Chad has just called out one of the prisoners to make contact with him.
If this is a portal to hell, slam the door!
This guy's really hamming it up for the cameras.
You can cross over!
And he's losing his shit like a seasoned paranormal investigator.
Upon review, it is clear that the cameras also picked up the sound of a cell door slamming shut.
You can cross over!
Instant replay. Three times.
I'm officially killed.
What an idiot.
Lost my cool.
At that moment, the wormhole detector registers a
just a note, there's no such thing as a wormhole detector.
The large spikes in the waveform suggest that the environment is changing and perhaps a portal is opening and something
junk science
is coming through.
So yeah, that's the kind of people that we're dealing with here. Let's get that music back on, shall we? So yes, Tenney, a paranormal researcher and former host of TV's Ghost Stalkers, says that he used to receive 2 to 5 calls a month from people convinced that their homes were haunted. But since the COVID-19 restrictions started, he says that he's getting 5 to 10 calls a week. Far more than I think he deserves. The New York Times also noticed the uptick. The newspaper interviewed Tenney this week for a feature about the many people around the US who are stuck at home with what they believe are roommates from beyond the grave. There is no scientific evidence for the existence of ghosts, that the newspaper helpfully notes. Tenney spoke to As It Happens host Carol Off about what's got people spooked. Here is part of their conversation. Carol asks, What kind of stories are you getting? Everything from typical knocks and footsteps in the hallway to sometimes very new, strange occurrences. Like people hearing whispered voices through their television sets or getting text messages from long-deceased friends and relatives. And what do you make of this? Carol asks. If we're going to allow or believe that ghosts exist, that's a weird sentence, then people are seeing an uptick of ghosts. No shit. Wow. What a fucking revelation. He goes on to say, they're in a heightened emotional state. They've been sequestered. They're spending time in their house, which they normally don't do at certain hours. Most people have gone to work, so they're not used to hearing pops and cracks in their house normally. But if there are ghosts, perhaps they've had a ghost in their house all along and they've just never noticed that. Carol asks, is it possible that ghosts themselves are becoming more active given that people are home all day long? He responds, if ghosts are the way that we traditionally think of them, which is, you know, were people once, then perhaps ghosts are getting bored too. And they're making themselves a little more known to the people that they're not commonly used to seeing at all hours of the day and night. Carol goes on to say, maybe they don't want that kind of company. I mean, some of the reports that I was seeing in this New York Times article that sounds quite annoying, like little petty things of doors slamming and towels on the floor and rattling the shades and things. I mean, maybe it's a message that they just want to be left alone in these houses. He replies, it's possible. As human beings, we have difficulty communicating and discerning the motives of other living human beings that are right in front of us. So for us to try and divine what the intention is of an ethereal, invisible being that we can't really see. Again, this guy talks in a very weird way. He goes on to say, they might just be trying to get attention. and they're doing it the only way that they know how, which is slamming a door, pulling a window shade, or slamming a window. Carol asks, is it possible that people being confined and seeing no one are just going a little nuts? He replies, tell people to kind of take copious notes, journal about it, keep a track of when it happens, because the majority of cases that I investigated over the last 30 years have a natural solution to them. That part I agree with. There's a lot of cases in paranormal investigations where you do find natural solutions, so he has something there. I'll give him that. He goes on to say, there might be something happening in your house, whether it be your furnace turning on or a truck driving down the street every day at the same time, that you never noticed before. But once you start taking notes, you'll notice that it's a repeating pattern or something that's very familiar. Carol goes on to ask, how often do you actually find something that's there? He says, I've investigated thousands of cases and there are probably less than 100 where something really unique and strange is happening. Again, I can attest to this. It's very, I would say he's actually onto something here. So again, credit where credit is due. Carol asks him, what was the strangest? And Tenny replies, I've been in a situation where I was in a room with 13 people, ominous number, and we had the lights off in the room and that was allegedly haunted. And we were sitting in the dark and everyone was saying their name, kind of introducing themselves to the ghost, for lack of a better word. And one woman in the corner refused to say her name, and that's fine, but when I asked if she could say where she was from, she didn't respond. So I turned the light on, and that's when everybody in the room realized that the woman that we had all thought was there with us had not been there. There was just an empty spot where we thought that she had been sitting. Carol goes on to ask, do you ever get the genuine kind of Ghostbusters ghosts kind of free-floating around that go woo, kind of spooky with vaporous trails to them and stuff like that? Do they exist? Oh my god. He replies, I have had, you know, situations where I've seen strange colored mist floating around in a room or through a cemetery. I'm calling bullshit on that one. But sometimes it's almost so typical that it's hard to believe that you're looking at something that's cloaked with a skeleton-like face. Your mind just goes, oh, that's got to be something from a movie. It's got to be something I'm imagining. When you have an experience where somebody says, oh, I'm seeing a very spooky movie-like ghost, you have to wonder how much of their mind is playing into it and how much they perceive the reality. And the final question from Carol comes as, would you tell people to be receptive to their experiences? He responds, I would. I think that our world is so strange, you should have as many weird experiences as possible. I also think that once you open yourself up to a weird experiences, you start to have more of them. The majority of cases that I have ever investigated, again, this guy has such a weird way of talking. It's difficult to read. Anyway, people don't get hurt. It's not scary, it's startling, but it's not scary. If somebody does get hurt, it's because they're startled off of a ladder or run down the steps and trip on their own feet. But I think if the ghosts are here, they're part of an environment that we should get to know them better. Again, weird. Just a weird way to put things. Now with our first news story out of the way, we're going to move on to the weather with our special celebrity guest, meteorologist Sean Penn. What's the weather like out there, Sean?
This is the apocalypse. This is like Hiroshima. The devastation is on a level like nothing anyone that I've spoken to has ever seen.
That's great, Sean. Thank you very much. Our next story comes to us from NDTV. The headline reads, No, that's not a snake. Viral video leaves many baffled. Nothing captures social media's attention like the mystery of the unknown. And this video going viral is proof. The video in question initially appears to show a snake slithering across a rock. A few seconds in, however, this serpent-like creature reveals itself fully. And it is, in all probability, unlike anything you've ever seen before. The animal in the video has five appendages extending from a central disc. Each arm is long and slender, giving it an appearance of a snake. In the video, it slowly slithers across the rock using each appendage and lowers itself into the water. What is that? Asks a Twitter user, Lydia Rayleigh. Okay. while reposting an old video on the microblogging platform a few days ago. Take a look. And there is the video, I watched it earlier, and yeah, it kind of looks like a very strange creature. Although I think I've seen something like this before. They're called hexapods. They're a relative of the traditional octopus. Anyway, quoting back from the news story now. Since being shared on Twitter, the video has collected nearly 3 LAKH views. What the fuck is that? What is 3 LAKH? I don't understand that. That is not a unit of measurement at all. Anyway, collected a lot of views, I guess, and a ton of intrigued comments. Many were left baffled by the creature and flooded the comments section with guesses and many more questions. Is it Australian? Something Australian, probably, says Attila the Honey Bun. What a name. Just slow clap for you. Or a manifestation of the disaster that is 2020? Sparkling Jewel says, it's 2020, that's what. Alex Fitzgerald says, it's a snake spider. How creative. Something like that will make you wish it was a snake, says Rita Panali. While many came up with outlandish theories, including 5 snakes sharing a hat and a baby Cthulhu, some Twitter users managed to identify the creature as a brittle star or ophiuroid? Fuck that word! Anyway, brittle stars are sea creatures that are closely related to starfish and are also known as serpent stars. There are over 2,000 species of brittle stars, and many of them are found in the deep sea. They crawl along the ocean floor using their long arms. Before we wrap up for this evening, we're going to move on to sports with our new sports correspondent, Nicholas Cage. What's going on out there, Nicholas?
I was watching TV, the game, right? He got tossed the ball and he was running with it. He was running. He jumped over 3 linebackers in midair. He's sprouted antlers, like a gazelle. Like an elk. He landed again. He ran. He scored a touchdown.
I'll have what he's having. Our last news story comes to us from thestar.com. Secret UFO files? In Canada, the truth is out there, online and searchable. It's the stuff of UFO enthusiasts' dreams or conspiracy theorists' nightmares. Unpublished US military findings about unidentified aerial phenomenon could soon be made public. But America, it turns out, could learn a thing or two from Canada when it comes to transparency about flying saucers and the like. Last week, the New York Times reported that the Pentagon is actively investigated reports of UFOs, citing a Senate committee report that called the program the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. The Pentagon could be ordered to summarize and release the program's findings if Congress passes the Intelligence Authorization Act, according to the report. It makes for an exciting time for ardent fans of UFOs, acknowledges Chris Rutowski, an enthusiast and the author of 10 books about how the phenomenon has played out in Canada over the years. Canada is actually ahead of the curve, said Rutowski, who lives in Winnipeg. Last year, he donated his personal collection of UFO reports, including 10,000 Canadian government documents and 20,000 more from various agencies, to the University of Manitoba. He said he obtained some of the documents through access to information requests, but others he has simply collected from Transport Canada reports available online. The Canadian government hosts a publicly searchable archive of government records about UFOs dating back to the 1950s. About 9,000 government documents, ranging from Defense Department memos about flying saucers to RCMP reports by officers who investigated UFO sightings across the country, are available on the Library and Archives Canada website. The documents, quote, show a fairly consistent track record of Canadian official involvement and interest in the subject, almost to the present time, Rutowski said. People in Canada have been way ahead of the United States in the sense that we've had a body of evidence and a body of documentation showing the official interest in UFOs. Rutowski says Canadian authorities have historically been more transparent than their U.S. counterparts, and that the Canadians saw UFOs more as a scientific curiosity rather than a military threat. While the Canadian government probably hasn't released anything it knows about UFOs, he said, there are sometimes good reasons to classify information, from military reasons to individual privacy concerns. It isn't necessarily a sign of insidious cover-up, in his view. They're not hiding information about the little green guy, as he said of the Canadian government. From the 1950s to 1995, the National Research Council studied meteorites and often relied on reports of UFOs to find samples of fallen meteorites, said Rutowski. Tracking reports of shooting lights in the sky sometimes meant investigating UFOs, he explained. The RCMP assisted the Research Council by investigating UFO reports and sending them to the scientists, said Rutowski. The Department of National Defense said sightings of unidentified airborne objects are reported to NAV Canada, the country's civil air navigation service. As far as we're concerned, we only focus on credible threats, and this falls outside the scope of our operations, D&D said in an emailed statement. Transport Canada compiles aviation reports from NAV Canada as well as other sources, and enters them into a publicly searchable database called the Civil Aviation Daily Occurrence Reporting System. Though synonymous with aliens, thanks in part to Hollywood, the term UFO can refer to many things, noted a spokesperson for Transport Canada, including sightings of unmanned air vehicles, UAVs or drones, balloons, meteors, weather phenomenon, and birds, adding that the term UFO should not be interpreted to mean anything of extraterrestrial origin. A search for unidentified flying object in Transport Canada's Civil Aviation Daily Occurrence Reporting System yields only 14 results. One entry describes a flying object the size and shape of a rugby ball near Prince Rupert, BC, and another cites a silver balloon-like object with mechanical grooves or four blinking lights underneath near Ottawa. In some cases, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, was notified. Rutowski collects many reports of UFOs from across Canada and produces an annual summary of his findings. In 2019, 849 UFO reports were filed, following a report of decline in number of UFO reports in the last decade. In the United States, the study of UFOs takes on more of a militaristic tone, Rutowski said. Quoting Rutowski now, during the Cold War, there was a concern that they were being seen by people as an incursion by Russian jets. Many of these military files were classified, giving rise to persistent conspiracy theories about government cover-up of UFO-related findings and more. Recent news stories about the U.S. Senate Committee report and the possible release of previously classified information about unidentified flying objects has brought discussion about UFOs back into the mainstream, Rutowski said. Most astronomers are taking recent developments in the United States with a grain of salt, said Michael Reed, who teaches astronomy at the University of Toronto. He said of his experience, reports of UFOs are, quote, almost always one of two things, either a planet or a satellite, end quote. In fact, astronomers of the U of T generally spend less than 1% of their time investigating UFOs, Reed said. But the university does sometimes receive reports of UFOs that they can't explain. Quote, once in a while, you get a call and we say, yeah, we can't, or we don't know what it is. Either your description wasn't enough for us to figure it out, or you saw something that we can't understand, end quote. That type of uncertainty is not new for astronomers. In fact, dealing with some of the unknown is a central part of their job, Reed said. Quote, there are genuinely things that up there that we don't know what they are. If you're an astronomer, that's your whole business. That's our discipline, trying to figure out what's going on in the cosmos, end quote. And it's pretty possible that intelligent life exists outside of Earth. There are billions and billions of Earth-like planets out there. It seems pretty possible that there could be intelligent life out there, he said. But there really is a different question to ask. Does that life visit Earth? Reed said that Canada takes a more scientific approach to the UFO phenomenon. In fact, scientists around the world operate survey telescopes that constantly take photographs of the sky and are able to detect an incoming comet, an asteroid, or a star explosion in another galaxy. It borders on incredulity. That's a word I can pronounce. It borders on incredulity that these telescopes would never spot anything, whereas the American military does. We already practice the study of the unknown in a very scientific way. And that's the end of the article and the end of our news broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please jump onto whatever podcast platform of choice that you use to leave us a review. Tell us how bad we do and shit like that. In any case, if you like this, let me know on Twitter That's spirit_Canadian, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/spiritdp. Until next time, I'm Kelly, and this has been Canadian Spirit News.